Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to God's Resurrection Power Church of Christ Ministry. My name is Apostle David Callender. I'm your host, and Holy Spirit is our overseer. We are a Bible-believing ministry that is teaching, preaching, and reaching the lost souls of this world for the kingdom of heaven in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Today we are excited and we are delighted that God has allowed us to enter into this realm of life and holiness, to come and bow down before Him, worship Him, praise Him, glorify Him. We are thankful, very thankful, because there are many that were here yesterday, last night, but they are no longer here today. They have crossed over into another dimension. I don't know about you, but I'm exceedingly happy. I'm exceedingly happy that the Lord has really brought me into this new day, this day that I have never seen before, and surely I will never ever see this day again. Father, we thank you and we praise you, O God, for your omnipotent presence. We thank you for your love, your mercy, your grace, and your long-suffering towards us, O God. We thank you, Father God, for blessing us today with the gift of life, O God. We thank you because you are merciful. You are loving and kind, God. You are majestic. You are sovereign. Holy and righteous is you, O God. And you are faithful, O God. Your faithfulness is from everlasting to everlasting, O God. Your faithfulness never fail, O God. So we thank you and we praise you, O God. O Father, we ask you to have your way in this service today. O Lord, speak to us and speak through us. We yield to you today, Lord Jesus. We ask you, Lord, to come in and have your way in this service. This is your service, O God. O God, you have ordained this service even before the beginning of the world, O God. Before the world began, you have ordained this service. So we thank you and we praise you, O God. Lord Jesus, have your way. Have your way. Speak to us. We yield to you, Lord Jesus. Oh, Father, we thank you. We thank you and we glorify your name. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come in now. Come in now. Come in now. Come into the room. Come into the room, Holy Spirit, and have your way. Come into the room. Touch us. Energize us, O God. Fill us. Cause our cup to run over, O God. We admonish you this morning, O God, to have your way in our midst, O God. Do for us what no one else can do, O God. Lord Jesus, bless us to understand. Bless us to hear. Oh, bless us to receive, Jesus, your word, oh God, that comes to us today, oh God. Oh, mighty Father, we just honor you. You are the great I am. You are the lily of the valley. You are the early morning star. You are the land of the tribe of Judah. We thank you this day, oh God. We bless you this day. Have your way. God, speak to us. Speak to us, Holy Father. And God, we would, O God, receive your instructions. Give us the instructions that we need to take us through this day, O God. Without you, we can do nothing, O God. But we believe in our hearts that with you, we can do all things because you continue to strengthen us. Lord, we pray this morning for Prophetess Kersey's daughter, Lord God. And we thank you, O God, for not allowing her to die, O God, but you kept her in the land of the living. And, O God, you allowed to go back home from the emergency room, O God. Lord, we ask, Father God, that you continue to clothe her in her right mind. The doctors are saying that she don't have this and she don't have that and she would never have this and she would never have that. But, God, you are the doctor that sees all those all and can do all. And you have the final say, O God. Jesus, you have the final say. We ask you, God, to heal her brain. Every tissue, oh God, we ask you to heal her brain tissues, oh God, and let her brain, all the tissues line up the electrical system of her brain, oh God. Let them line up, oh God, that, oh God, she would have all her senses intact, oh God, as she begin to praise you and glorify you and honor you for all that you have done for her, oh God. Lord, you kept her in the land of the living. So, Father, we ask you this day that you touch her, touch in a special way. Give her a special touch, oh God. Oh, Father, Lord, we ask you, oh God, to energize her today, Lord God. God, let her do more today than she did yesterday. Oh, Father, only you can do it, God. So we asking you, God, to do it for her. Lord Jesus, show up in her bedroom. Show up in her bedroom and strengthen her hands, strengthen her knees, strengthen her elbow, her ankle bone, her hip bone, her backbone. God, we ask you to strengthen her every which way that she needs to be strengthened, oh God. Oh, Father, and let her know, oh God, that you are the one. You are the one that gives life. You're the one that gives life, Father. We thank you. We thank you and we praise you, oh God. We ask you, Father God, to energize her, oh God, and let the prayer wars continue to lift her up. Let the prayer wars continue to lift her up before you, oh God. Let them intercede, oh God, as though she is their own daughter, oh God, their own sister. Oh God, we ask, oh God, today that they bombard heaven, oh God, with their cries for this young woman and give her an opportunity to receive heaven's gift today. Father, we thank you. We praise you, oh God. Oh, mighty God, we ask you to have your way. This is the day that the Lord has made. We are already rejoicing and we are glad. We are exceedingly glad because you are doing miracles in the earth, oh God. They're claiming, they're saying all of these things, all of these bad things are going to happen, and the men are predicting all of these things. But Lord, we're listening to the word of the Lord, of the Most High God. We're listening to you to hear what you are saying to us, what you are imparting into us, oh God. We are not going by what the tarot cards say, what the Ouija board say, what the crystal balls say. We are not going by these things of the world. We are going by what you speak to us, oh God. We are your children, and we hear your voice, oh God. We thank you for speaking to us today, Lord God. We thank you for speaking to us today. Jesus, we ask you to enter in. Enter in by your spirit, oh God. Enter in by your spirit. Let your power rain down. Rain down on us today. Rain down righteousness upon us today, God. We ask you to rain, oh God, rain. Rain, rain on us today, Lord God. Open the window and the door and the gates of heaven, oh God, and rain down on us today, Lord God. We need to feel the rain. We want to feel the rain, the heavenly rain, oh God. Raining on us, oh God. Yes, Lord, we thank you. Yes, Lord, we praise you. Yes, Lord, we glorify your name. Hallelujah, Jesus. We thank you for what you're doing right now in our midst, oh God. We ask you, Father God, to touch the President of the United States of America. Touch the Prime Minister of Israel, oh God. We ask you to touch the President of Russia, oh God. Soviet Union, oh God, we pray today that you touch this morning, oh God, touch the Ukraine president, Lord, touch all of these people that want to be in war and killing the human being, oh God, killing people that not even involved in the wars, oh God. Lord, we ask you, God, to intervene, oh God, and God, cause the wars to cease, oh God, and let your people rise up, let your people rise up, oh God, and take a stand for righteousness, oh God. We pray today in the name of Jesus, oh God, that you show up in our midst, oh God, and have your way. Lord, we need you, Lord. We need you more than ever before because our world is going upside down, Lord, and we need you to show up, oh God, and help us to understand all the things that the enemy is trying to do to us, oh God, that we might see and hear and speak the truth of God's word. Lord Jesus, have your way. We adore you, Lord Jesus. We ask you, God, that you touch the senators and the congressmen, the vice president. Oh, God, we ask that you touch the Supreme Court Justice Department, touch the fire department, the police department, Lord. There's so much going on right now, Lord. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord, to show up in our midst, oh, God, and do for us what only you can do, Lord. Lord, we are lost without you. We are lost. Lord Jesus, we are lost without you. We need you, Lord Jesus, to come. Come into our midst and have your way. Please, Lord Jesus, we ask you. We admonish you this morning. And we ask you to have your way, Lord Jesus. We surrender to you today. We surrender all to you, Jesus. All we surrender to you. We ask you to, Lord God, do not forsake us, O God. Do not forsake us. Do not leave us, oh, fatherless or motherless, O God. We ask you, Father, to rain your love upon us, O God. We adore you, O God. We honor you, Lord God, for all that you have done, all that you are doing, and all that you will do for us, O God. We are your children. We are your servants, O God. We live to worship you. We live to honor you. We live to praise you, O God. We live, O God, because you live. You give us life, O God. You gave us life, O God. And because you gave us life, we want to give you praise from the life that we have, O God. We ask you today, Lord Jesus, to speak, O God. Speak for your servants are listening, O God. Lord, speak to us. Help us to hear clearly, O God. Our ears are open to the sounding of your voice, O God. In the mighty name of Jesus, O God, we pray today. We pray today, Lord. Jesus, come on in. Come on in and have your way. Come on in and have your way. Bless the name of the Lord Jesus. Bless the name of the Lord Jesus, O God. Come on in, Jesus. Come on in. Come on in and have your way. Yes, come on in and have your way. Come on in. Jesus, we love you.
Never let me take it all. Just to hear you say that I, you are mine. Oh, Jesus, one else will bring up to nothing else will your place. Just to feel the warmth of embrace. Heavenly Father, bring me to you. Worship, worship, You are here working in this place. Worship you. Worship you. You are here moving in my life. Worship you. I worship. You are here working in this place. Worship you.
Yeah. To be glorified through our worship, so that people who don't know him would want to know him. And you know, God made it pretty easy for us. He was willing to send his only begotten son. His son was willing to give his life. And because he died on the cross for our sins, all we have to do is believe, and we can be saved. The Bible says in Romans 10 and 9 that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, that you will be saved. And I want to ask you to accept Jesus into your heart, because I know for sure that that will be the best decision you have ever made and the best one you will ever make. Jesus changes everything. He gives you light, he gives you hope, he gives you peace, he heals you. But you know what? The greatest miracle of all is that when we leave here, we get to be in his presence. It's eternal salvation. It never runs out. His love never ends. It never runs out. But you have to receive this gift. And so if you want it tonight, repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus. I believe that he died on the cross for my sins, and I believe you raised him from the dead. I confess I'm a sinner, but I believe you're my Savior. Forgive me of my sins. I invite you into my heart. Be the Lord of my life for the rest of my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit so I will be empowered to live a life pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you said that prayer and you believe it, you know what you're saying. You know what? He's your hope. He's the anchor of your soul. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're my future. You're my hope. You're the anchor of my soul. And I was made for you. You're my future. You're my hope. Oh,
your mercy never fail. All my days held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I was of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been faithful. There's been love that I have made for the time of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me to the fire. In the darkness, you are close to my voice. And I know you as a child. Only when I have.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. All my life, he's been faithful. And I will sing of the goodness of the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. I will sing of the goodness of the Lord. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for what you've done, what you're doing, and what you will do. We thank you for blessing us for this new day, this day that we have never seen before, and this day that we will never, ever see again. Oh God, we ask you to bless the four corners of the earth, the north, the south, the east, and the west. And Lord, we know that you are faithful. You are faithful and merciful to do that which you promised that you would do for us. So Lord, we ask you to heal the sick. Excuse me. Raise the dead in spirit. And God, open blind eyes and unstop deaf ears, that they might hear what you are saying to them, to us. We yield our members unto you today, our ears and our eyes and our lips of clay, that we might see and hear and speak your truths, O God. Lord, we decrease that you might increase right now. We ask you, O God, to elevate us into that realm of holiness, righteousness, for our good and for your glory, O God. Lord, we ask you to touch and heal and deliver and restore. We have prayed for many people this morning, many nations already. And we know, God, that you have heard us, because you told us in your word that if we call, that you would answer. You will show us great and mighty things that we have no knowledge of. We trust and we believe and we are depending on you, O God, to administer healing as we had called for, we had asked for this morning. You say we have not for we ask not, and when we ask amiss. But we did not ask amiss this morning, O God. We ask for what we want to see happen in this earth realm to your people that are sick, my brothers and my sisters, that are sick and need healing, need restoring, O God, need deliverance, O God. We ask you to move by your spirit, O God. Father, we trust you this morning. We are doing a part two of this message this morning from yesterday, and we pray that the Lord allow us to see in the spirit realm what he wants us to release in the natural realm. So we have already prayed for the message and for the people that are sick and in need, and those that really need to receive the gift of salvation, that God will draw them to him, because he said no one can come except he draw them. So we are trusting that God will draw those that are lost and need a Savior. We all need the Savior. He drew us. We didn't get up from smoking crack cocaine and said, no, I'm going to put down the pipe and I'm going to see Jesus. No, he drew us while we were still in darkness. Maybe your vice was in cocaine. Maybe it was womanizing. Maybe it was lying, cheating, gossiping, stealing. And he drew you. And you have decided, make the decision that you wasn't going to steal anymore. And God kept your hand from taking stuff that didn't belong to you. They call it kleptomania. You decide you wasn't going to be a kleptomania anymore. You stop you from lying and cheating and cussing like he did for me. This morning we want to speak about what to do when you're feeling weak, part two. Now we all feel weak from time to time. Doesn't matter if you've been preaching for 40, 50, 60 years. You're going to feel weak. You're going to feel tired. You, from time to time, you're going to feel empty. You're going to feel like as though everything is going out of your body. You know, you're going to feel it. But glory to God, we have a place that we can go to and be restored. And that place is to Jesus. We go to him. and he restores us. My cell phone is acting up, so give me a minute trying to get it where it's supposed to act right, but it's not acting right. And hopefully you can hear me. I see it there. Here it is. So we want to just go in and deliver this message as the Lord was given to us. Let's go to Judges. Let's go over to Judges. Judges chapter 3. And let's start over there. You know, I like to go to the Old Testament and then go to the New. I like to jump back and forth and see what this says the Lord. Here in Judges, start at verse 7 to 11. He says, the Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight. They forgot about the Lord their God. And they served the images of Baal and Ashtaroth's poles. Now they went into wicked idolatry. We find out that a lot of times we are serving God and we are worshiping God and praising God. And we feel like we know that we're doing the things that are right. We feel this change that's taking place in our natural body, in our spiritual body. But then from time to time we get distracted and we find ourselves being connected to people and places and things that does not give him glory and does not edify the body of Christ. So we find ourselves drifting away. They call it backsliding, slowly backsliding, because we are not keeping in contact with God. We are not staying connected to the things of God. So the Israelites, they drift away. And, you know, as you study the Bible all the way from Genesis to Revelation, you will find that the Israelites constantly would drift away from God. But God would always draw them back. He would send a prophet, a preacher, somebody to talk to them that would encourage them to return to God. You know, he said, return to me and I will return to you. We talked about yesterday, he said, if you abandon me, I would abandon you. Hallelujah, glory to God. If you seek me, you will find me. He said that yesterday. So then the Lord burned with anger against Israel, and he turned them over to King Kushan-Rehathaim, turned them over to their enemies. And from time to time, you will find yourself in a place that you don't want to be. Hallelujah. Because you have rejected the place that you ought to be, you find yourself in a place that you don't want to be. And what happened is, you find yourself doing things that you don't want to do, and you find yourself staying longer than you want to stay, and as the people say, and it costs you more than you want to pay because you have rejected the Savior. A lot of people going through so much in their marriage, their finances, oh God, the relationships, the job, and they're wondering why they're going through so much. Look, just take an inventory. Take a look at your heart. Examine your own heart. I like to say, look at the hard drive of your mind. Look at the hard drive of your mind, and you will see what you are gravitating to, what you are drawn to more. And if you're not drawn to Christ, that thing that you're drawn to the most is what's drawing you away from Christ. What's keeping you away from Christ? What's keeping you away from experiencing the goodness, the joy, the peace of heaven? You can't, because you're not connected to it. You're not connected. He said here in this word, and I like that, then the Lord burned with anger against Israel, and he turned them over to King Kushan-Rehathaim of Aram-Naharaim. And the Israelites served Kushan for 8 years. But when the people of Israel cried out to the Lord for help, the Lord raised up a rescuer to save them. His name was Othniel, the son of Caleb's younger brother, Kenah. Now, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he became Israel's judge. He went to war against King Kushan of And the Lord gave Othniel victory over them. See, when you serve the Lord, when you make up in your mind that you're going to serve the Lord gives you victory. Sometimes you got to go through some stuff. You got to, you have to face some enemies. There's some things that will come in your path, sometimes sickness, sometimes loss of job, sometimes finances get difficult, sometimes you don't have enough food. Hallelujah. You don't have enough of anything. But guess what? God is there. And when you have God, you have more than enough. Othniel honored God with everything that he did. But the Bible says, so there was a peace in the land for 40 years. Then Othniel, son of Kenaz, died. Now, after Othniel died, you can see, we're not going there, but everything changes. See, when the man of God, the woman of God, removed from their position, things change. Things change. Hallelujah. I was just reading this morning about this pastor over in Kansas. The youth pastor. He's a youth pastor. He wasn't a pastor. And I could imagine what his pastor is saying. And I read that this morning on the internet, on the news channel. And they said that he killed his wife and his children. He was my, well, they call him, he's a youth pastor, but he's not a youth. Because they say he was, I know he's not a youth because they say he was married to his wife for 2 decades. So that means he's older than 20. So he got to be somewhere in his 40s or 50s, somewhere around it. But he was the youth pastor. No, somewhere along the line that he allowed the enemy to slip in. Because Satan don't care if you're preaching, teaching, singing, dancing, or playing instruments in the house of the Lord. Satan will slip into your mind if you give him opportunity. Let's go to the book of Hosea. Let's go to the book of Hosea. I tell you something that, you know, when I hear that a preacher is doing bad, it affects me right down to the core of my soul when I hear a preacher step off the mark. And we all are subject to stepping off the mark. Believe what I'm telling you. We all are subject. Why? Because we are flesh and blood. Paul tells you that no good thing dwells in his flesh. He said that God gave him a thorn in his side. God gave him a thorn in his side to keep him straight. He had that thorn so that he would not be puffed up and think he was all that in a bag of chips and a Pepsi Cola. I like to say that. I was studying that last night. Paul said he wouldn't boast. He had nothing to boast of. If he boasts, he going to boast in Christ Jesus. You have some preachers today. Soon they start to preach and God begin to use them and he begin to flow through them. His anointing, the power, and the authority begin to flow through them. They walk and push their chest up like they're all that. Like they're doing the work. There's the wonder. No, you are just a conduit that God is working through. Hallelujah. Don't push your chest up because the devil will make you think it's you, it's us, and next thing you know, you're going off the deep end. Because you're feeling out that people can't do without you because you're all there. No, Jesus is there. He's the one doing the work. He chose Hosea, and this is what he said to Hosea. Then the Lord said to me, this is Hosea chapter 3, it's only 5 verses. The Lord said to me, go and love your wife again, even though she commits adultery with another lover. This will illustrate that the Lord still loves Israel, even though the people have turned to other gods and love to worship them. I bought her back for 15 pieces of silver and 5 bushels of barley and a measure of wine. Then I said to her, you must live in my house for many days and stop your prostitution. During this time, you will not have sexual relations with anyone, not even with me. This shows that Israel will go a long time without a king or prince and without sacrifice, sacred pillars, priests, or even idols. But afterward, the people will return and devote themselves to the Lord their God and to David, descendants their king. In the last days, they will tremble in awe of the Lord and of his goodness. Now the Lord used this man, Hosea, and he used him in such a way that Israel would see themselves in all that he's doing and turn to God. We need preachers today that would walk upright before God. We need preachers and pastors and teachers and so on, deacons and elders and ushers. We need people of God that would walk upright, that would not deviate from the call, from the ministry of reconciliation. That we need preachers that would deliver sound doctrine, would live sound doctrine. We need preachers that would live to glorify God. This is the kind of preachers. So the people, when they see us, when they see the preachers, they say, I want to be like that preacher. The preacher lives, even though his wife is acting up, even though her husband is acting up, they're living, walking this walk. Hosea's wife had left him and went out of whoring. Israel had left God. She is God's wife, the bride. She goes out a whoring, worshiping other gods, bowing to other entities. God had to use Hosea. Say, Hosea, go get back your wife. Israel will see and return to me. Let us go over to Acts chapter 20. I don't know if you're getting anything out of this, but I tell you, as I was studying this since last week, I shared it with many people, a couple of prophets and prophetess in North and South Carolina, and people, some folk in New Orleans. Matter of fact, a family. I was talking to the daughters and son-in-law and fiancé, and they're sharing with God. I showed me in the Word. You know, when God show you, and he'll let you know, because I mean, you can't tell everybody everything that God show you. You just can't. God will tell you who to share with, because everybody is not going to want to receive and not going to want to be in agreement with you, especially when God is saying you some heavy stuff. When he's revealing some heavy stuff that everybody don't see and hear, you can't share with everybody. God will tell you when and how, who to share with. Because, you know, the enemy is using some folk right up in the church, right up in the building. He's using some people right up in there that have not given their heart completely to God. They're in the building. I talked about it yesterday. They're there every time the church building door is open. You know, I fight myself all the time to get away from seeing the church, because that's not the church. It's the church building. We are the church. But every time the church building door open, they ain't there. But guess what? They're there just to critique. Matter of fact, they just want to see the man of God, the woman of God, do something. Just slip off the path. And the devil used them because they're his servants. Use them to just go on and blast the man of God, blast the woman of God. I know they weren't no preacher, you know. They're praying for them, you know. You got some preachers that, you got some wolves out there that you really got to expose. You can't go on there praying. They're wolves. They're wolves. They're not concerned about the sheep, because if they were concerned about the sheep, they wouldn't be preaching that mess that they're preaching. They will be preaching about holiness and let convict, so the word will convict those folk that up in the house of God committing adultery and fornicating, lying and stealing and cheating, doing all type of stuff, homosexual acts, lesbians, and all type of stuff up inside the house. But you wouldn't preach the truth, because if you preach the truth in love, listen to me, don't preach the truth judgmentally. Preach it in love. Jesus preached the truth, but he preached it in love. And people got hurt. Hallelujah. People were hurt. They were cut to the core. They were cut so much that they put him on a cross. And sometimes when you preach the truth, they would get the same feeling. They want to put you on a cross. Hallelujah. Folk ain't going to come to hear you, because a lot of times they say, preaching, all she preaches holiness. I want to hear, but when I'm going to get my man, when I'm going to get a woman, when I'm going to get a new house, when I'm going to get a car, when I'm going to get a raise on my job, they want to hear all that foolishness, stuff that's not going to keep them together, from protect them from Satan. not going to help them to build up a strong armor against the devil. Acts chapter 20. Let's jump all the way down the chapter. This is a strong, strong verse. But let's go in here. Oh, but you can start at verse 30. But let's go down to verse 35. He says, I have been a constant example of how you can help those in need by working hard. You should remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. This is Paul talking. It's so important that we understand that we're not here to make money. You got some preachers today can't go nowhere and preach unless they get a check. I used to be at a church, man, the guy didn't want to play the keyboard, said he knew how much money he going to get. And if he going to get played the same day. He didn't want to come back later, and he didn't want to come back the next day. He wanted to get paid. Soon as he turn off that keyboard, and the guy get paid on the drum, soon as he get to put down his drumsticks or put his drumsticks in the bag, he wanted to go down to the office and get cash. He didn't want no check. They weren't praying for the Lord. They're playing for God. They were playing for the money. Yes, that one bishop coming every time he preached. The woman had to, she was a woman preacher, woman pastor. He had to go down to the office and give him a check. Sometimes she gave him more than what she raised in the church because that's what he charged. Paul says, I have been a constant example of how you can help those in need by working hard. You shouldn't. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It is better. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And you know, every time I give, man, I'm excited. And especially when I get a job to go to work that I can help somebody, man, I'm excited that God has blessed me. Because see, when you give, God has already blessed you, so you have it. You have it, so you can give. But if you don't have it, you can't give. Sometimes you don't have it, but you thank God that you're on the route to having it. I get an email yesterday, and I just hope that it all comes to fruition because it looks like it's right around the corner. It looks like it's right around the corner that we're going to get all this money that's coming to you. Matthew chapter 26, I just want to get a word on here. and see what the Lord says. Matthew chapter 26, and glory to God. Let's pull up one verse. I'm not giving you a whole lot. It says, Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. I won't teach that message again. You must have a Gethsemane experience. We're going to preach that message again. Because a lot of people don't want to go through anything. You know, they preach the gospel, teach the gospel, don't want to go through anything. But as long as you're a true preacher, a true believer in Christ and teaching and preaching, you're going to go through some stuff. People going to hurt you. You're going to lose stuff. You're going to come up empty, don't have enough of all that you need. But you're going to understand, God is your keeper. God is your shield. Can you imagine I was going to Africa to preach and do crusade, and then my daughter died? You can imagine that? Died. And I had to do the eulogy. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Man, it was a hard thing. But I knew what God had told me about her. She was tired. She didn't want to stay here anymore. It wasn't happy. But we're going to face a lot of troubles, trials and tribulation. But God, Jesus told us that. In this world, you will have trials and tribulation. But remember, he overcome. And if he overcome, we will overcome also. We just got to stay faithful to the call. Acts. Where we at? Matthew 26, verse 41. Jesus told him he is in the Garden of Gethsemane. He is going to refuel. He is drained. After doing crusades, and he's drained. And you notice this was something that I learned from Jesus. Every time he finished teaching and preaching, he went somewhere in the mountain, the valley, hill, or somewhere. He went somewhere and prayed in the garden or something on the mountain. He went and talked to the Father. He went and refueled. That's what praying does that to you. You know, when you pray, you all hard and sweaty, and you feel like, man, you're pouring out so much in your prayer. But by the time you stop praying, man, you realize you have been filling. You was putting new gas in the tank, spiritual gas in your spiritual tank. And we say, well, I feel empty. I got to rest. But no, you've been filling. You're pouring out and getting filled at the same time. Two-way thing. As you pour into people, it's being poured into your spirit at the same time. You feel like you're drained. But when you lay down, take a nap, you're so refreshed because you have been refueling at the same time. Two-way thing. You ever seen an airplane? When them airplane, they go to the carrier, the oil carrier, and they're being refilled. They're flying. You know, the jets, I'm talking about warplanes, they're flying. And they're being refloored from a super jet over them. He's on the top. And he let down this thing, and it goes into the looks like the hood of the plane. And it's pouring in gas into the plane. The plane is still flying. Why the plane is flying, it's flying, but it's also refueling at the same time. And that's the same way we do. We're preaching and teaching, and we're pouring out of our spirit, man. My God. And at the same time, I was preaching on Sunday, man. I was pouring out. I sent you all the recording. And I was pouring out, but at the same time, I was being refilled. I came out that place. I feel like I was glowing when I came out the sanctuary. Here, he said, Jesus told them, he says, he's going over there to pray. And he told them, keep watch and pray. Verse 41. So that you will not give into the temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. We're talking about what to do when you're feeling weak. And Jesus gives us the answer here. We got to keep watch. Be alert. Pay attention. Things are happening in the world. I got a message from a prophetess, Casey, this morning or yesterday come through. But all the stuff that's happening all over the world. And it's happening simultaneously. At the same time, it's happening all over the world. Mudslides, earthquakes, tornadoes, tsunamis, all these things happen at the same time. Hurricane storms, all this stuff. Fires, all this stuff happening at the same time. What God is saying. He told us in Matthew chapter 24. And you see all these things are happening. It's getting close. It's not the end yet, but it's getting close. We got to be. He said, watch. And prayer, so that you will not give into temptation, for the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. A lot of times we can't pray because the flesh will give up quick. As soon as you say you got to pray, the flesh will give up. It wants to lay down, go to sleep. But say you want to watch some pornography on the computer or the television screen. Because you can get it on your phone. You can get it on your computer. It pops up on my computer. I had to delete and block a lot of stuff. I had to ask Amazon not to let this stuff come. Not Amazon, Facebook, to not let this stuff come on my page. It'll pop up. And you say, well, I'm going to watch this 30 minutes, hour show on your computer or your TV. You were just sleepy when God was calling for you to pray. To just watch for him for 1 hour. You were just starting to get sleepy. But as soon as it got in your flesh, here it is on the computer. Here it is on the television screen. Here it's in the book. You'll come awake. You'll come awake because you're not doing what you're supposed to do when you're feeling weak. He said, watch and pray. Lest you fall into temptation. He said, the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. So in order to get the body in line with the spirit, we got to pray. We need to pray. Psalm 6. Go to Psalm 6. Go to Psalm 6. This is just teaching. I don't want to hoop and holler. Just teaching you. Because I know we got some prayer warriors on the line, and they know what it means to pray. They pray every morning. Every morning they're praying. Psalm 6 says, this is a psalm for the choir director, a psalm of David to be accompanied by the 8 strings instrument. He said, oh Lord, don't rebuke me in your anger or discipline me in your rage. In other words, David is saying to the Lord, he said, look, I know you get upset sometimes.
when I don't act right? You got to see this. God is not an angry God that just walk around angry. But he get upset when we're not doing what we're supposed to do. Suppose he gives us what we deserve to have when we are acting unseemly. As children out here on earth, and their earthly father whip their behind, that they can't even sit down. Suppose God chastise us that way. Suppose he treat us that way. David says, don't rebuke me in your anger, or discipline me in your rage. He said, have compassion on me, Lord, for I am weak. See, we got to act not as our fault before the Lord. We want to walk around chewing gum and acting like we all that. We got it together. When we know we have some frailties, we are weak in the flesh. We're still slipping and dipping. Nobody sees us in the nighttime. We're down by Susie's house, over by John's house. We go to dinner with Susie and Mary. And next thing we know, we open Mary's house. And we're getting on. But nobody sees us when we went to a fine restaurant. Nobody sees us. But to go to the restaurant that we know. But guess what? There's somebody that knows. Hey, don't get how far we go from the south to the north, north to the east to the west. There's somebody always there watching. Because the Bible says he sits high. But he looks low. He sees all. David says, have compassion on me, Lord, for I am weak. Heal me, Lord, for my bones are in agony. We're going through so much. And God says, we got to come to him. He's the one that can fix my heart. He's the one that can fix the pain that I have going through. Excuse me. Get some saliva in the wrong spot. He's the one that can fix us when we are going through, when we are heavy burdened down. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. We go to everybody in the mom. I need my prayer warriors to help me and pray with me, but I go to God first. Because one thing for sure, he's not going to say, look, I'm going to pray for you and don't pray. Because most of these people say, oh, I'm going to pray for you. But no sooner you get off the phone, they get into something else. Because why? The devil distract them. You know, sometimes they don't intentionally not pray for you, but the devil distract them. And they go off doing something else, and they forget to pray for you. Instead of going right into war right away, when you say you need prayer, I'm going to pray for you. No, let me pray now. Because I know that enemy don't want me to intercede for my brother or my sister. They forget. David says, return, O Lord, and rescue me. Save me because of your unfailing love. See, God is just protecting us. Listen, he said to David, David said to the Lord, I am sick at heart. How long, O Lord, until you restore me? David is crying out. Who are we crying out to? Everybody else in their mama except God, the one that can restore me. I said this yesterday or the day before. When my cat like get something going wrong, if I can't fix it, most of the times I can fix what's going on. I do the brakes, the rotors, the calipers, all that stuff, the hydraulics, shocks, all that stuff, compressors, all that stuff I do myself. But if it's something very technical, you know, where they need a computer and stuff, me, I got a computer I bought for the truck, for my car, I can put it on anybody's car and tell you what the problem going on. I had that a few years ago, 4 or 5 years I bought from Amazon. But if something goes wrong with my Cadillac, I take it to the Cadillac dealer if I can't fix it. If something is going wrong with our heart, perfect man, we ought to go in prayer. Talk to God. David is crying out. He says, I am sick at heart. How long, O Lord, until you restore me? Return, O Lord, and rescue me. Save me because of your unfailing love. See, God always loves us, even when we are jacked up in sin. Even when we are so jacked up in sin that it seems like we can't stop. We want to stop, but the flesh still craving that stuff. You know, like you say, I shouldn't eat ice cream because, you know, I got high blood pressure, I got diabetes, I got this, I got that. I shouldn't be eating all that sugar, all them candy and all them cookies and stuff. But when you get there, sitting on the couch, watching your favorite movie, first thing you do is pick up a Snicker. Almond Joy. You know all the candy that we like. Those are two that I like, Snicker and I like Almond Joy. Because the Almond Joy got the coconut, so I like that. But I limit myself. I mean, I have one for a month, 2 months. But then when I have two or three of them. And if I have a chocolate bar, I have a big, the Jane size chocolate bar. Because I know I'm not going to have one for the next 2 or 3 months. But I used to have one every day. And guess what happened? They didn't agree with me. My flesh needed that sugar. But I didn't really, really, my flesh wanted it, but I didn't need it. You see? And I had to cut back on that stuff so to get my body back in line with my spirit. He says, for the dead do not remember you. Who can praise you from the grave? This is what David is saying. Don't let me die. Because when I die, I can't praise you, Lord. I can't worship you. I can't give you adoration. We waited for certain days to praise. A certain time convocation or some kind of spiritual gathering. Ordination service. A revival, a crusade. We waited for a special time. No, God wants us to praise him every chance we get because we don't know what is going to be the last day. We don't know. You know when's the last day, what's the last call for alcohol. It should tell you. Minutes before 2 o'clock, you're at the bar. In the bartender said, last call for alcohol. You know you go get 3 drinks. I know because that's what I used to do when I was in the world. But God don't tell us your last day. You don't know when's your last second that you're going to breathe your last breath of air. So while you got air moving through your lungs and your heart is still beating, you ought to praise him. I don't have no money, but I'm praising Lord. I thank you for the abundance. I thank you for the life that you give me. I thank you for the grace that you bestowed upon my life, how you keep my son, how you keep my grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Lord, I just thank you, Lord, because your unfailing love towers us. Your faithfulness towers us, Lord. How you love us in spite of how we act from time to time. Every chance I get, I'm thanking and I'm praising him. I don't have to have stuff to praise him. I've gone up the highway and on Sunday I didn't have my gold bracelet on, didn't have my diamond ring on. I look, I said, well, my hand feet empty. And I hear my spirit says, you don't need that to come to the house. You don't need gold to go to God's house. You don't need to have a Rolex watch on your hand to go to God's house. What you need is a pure heart, an open heart that needs to be filled. Because your heart is not filled all the way. You got some good stuff in there, but there should be still room, always room in your heart to receive more from the Lord. And as I'm going to receive more. David says, for the dead do not remember you. Who can praise you from the grave? I am worn out from sobbing. All night I flood my bed with weeping, drenching it with my tears. David says he can't stop weeping. He needs the Lord. He needs help. And he's so deep in worship, so deep in prayer, that his tears has overcome him. He says, my vision is blurred by grief. My eyes are worn out because of all my enemies. I know you sometimes, your enemies can come at you from every corner. And you're busy watching and looking and observing and hearing all the negativity. And you become almost blind. You can't see straight. He said, go away, all you who do evil, for the Lord has heard my weeping. See, after you get into prayer, Brother Minister Jones can tell you, prophetess, curse your brother, Deacon Fraser, or Pastor Stewart. These people that know how to pray can tell you. When you get into pray, in deep pray, you can tell that your help is there. And it doesn't matter what the enemy's coming. The Bible says he comes in like a flood, but the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard for you. This is the heritage of the saints. You, when you begin to pray and you go in there, it doesn't matter how heavy the burden is, you tend to become light because you know somebody now. No longer are you carrying the burden, but he's carrying the burden. Matter of fact, he's carrying you along with the burden. This is where we see we're not even on the earth anymore. He's carrying us. David said, go away, all you who do evil, for the Lord has heard my weeping. The Lord has heard my plea. The Lord will answer my prayer. May all my enemies be disgraced and terrified. May they suddenly turn back in shame. That's a heavy prayer right there. That's that prayer right there. That's right there. That's a heavy prayer right there. May all my enemies be disgraced and terrified. May they suddenly turn back in shame before the Lord. This is a short, short psalm, but powerful, powerful psalm. 2 Corinthians. Let me see if we look. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, my friends. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. What Paul says. Let's go up the verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's go up the verse. Paul talking about the flesh and boasting. He says, this boasting will do no good. But I must go on. I will reluctantly tell about visions and revelations from the Lord. I was caught up in the third heaven 14 years ago. Whether I was in my body or out of my body, I don't know. Only God knows. Yes, only God knows whether I was in my body or outside my body. But I do know that I was caught up to paradise and heard things so astounding that they cannot be expressed in words. Things no human is allowed to tell. Now, a lot of times you can go into that place that Paul is talking about. You begin to get so deep in prayer. I know if you guys are prayer warriors, you know what I'm talking about. That you find yourself drifting away. You know, you feel that you're no longer here on earth. You're in a different realm. Because you have prayed and you have seeked his face so hard, so strong, that you have traveled out of your body spiritually. You're vibrating, you're shaking. Bumps are all over you. It's not a feeling. It's a knowing. Spirit move. Paul is there. He said that experience is worth boasting about, but I'm not going to do it. I will boast only about my weaknesses. Want anyone to give me credit beyond what they can see in my life or hear in my message? Paul says, I don't want anyone to give me credit beyond what they can see in my life or hear in my message. If somebody come and say to you, well, I can see, sister, that God is doing a great work in your life. Well, that's all right, sister. God did the glory. Don't let them call you to push your chest up like you arrived. I talked with that yesterday. But said to God be the glory, because it's him. It don't belong to us. It belongs to him. He gives us glory, but he gives us glory to do the work. But this glory that we're talking about here, he talked about in Isaiah. He said, I wouldn't share my glory with no one. He's not going to get that glory. It don't belong to us. So when somebody come and tell you about you, your ministering and your preaching and teaching, to God be the glory, because it belongs to him. He's the preacher. He's the teacher. He's the one that's teaching through us. We don't have any notes. We just have scriptures. He's the one that's telling us what to say to encourage the people out there in computer land. Somebody want to give up today. Out there in computer land, believe what I'm telling you, because I'm hearing it in my spirit. Somebody out there in computer land is going through so much, and when they hear this message, they might hear it just in time not to commit suicide, not to hurt somebody, not to take somebody's life. Look at that pastor, you pastor in Kansas. To kill his wife and the children and burn the house. Now, what do you think is going on? Because folk are not spending time in prayer. When heavy burdens come, they don't take it to the Lord. Most of them try to deal with it on their own. Think that they can work it out on their own. It's too heavy. If you could work it out on your own, Jesus will not just come on to me, all you that live and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Because God, he knows that from time to time we're going to have burdens that's going to be too heavy for us to carry. Here in Matthew chapter 11, let's pull this scripture up here quick, because I'm hearing it and I want to give it to you the way the Lord showed me. Let me get to you. 11:28. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus to come. Jesus know that every believer, it doesn't matter what your gifts are, what your talents are, you're going to face some heavy burdens. You're going to have some burdens that are going to become so heavy, heavier than you can carry. Your shoulder is not big enough, but God's shoulder is from the north to the south, from the east to the west, from top to bottom. His shoulders are big. They're strong. They're awesome, mighty. He can carry the whole world. He did on his shoulders. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I give you rest. You'll find rest in him. Here he says, Paul said, look, I'm not going to boast. I'm not going to boast. If I boast in my weakness. He said, because I don't want anyone to give me credit beyond what they can see in my life or hear in my message. Even though I have received such wonderful relations from God, so to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. Do you hear that? God gave him a thorn, sent a messenger from Satan to torment him, keep him in check. Sometimes you need some folk to keep you in check, to tell you, let you know that you're not all that. We got folk that really puffed up, preachers. No, we not all that. We all still got to go to the bathroom. We all still going to die. We all can't stop ourselves from dying. So don't puff yourself up. Man, if you're going to puff, just puff up God. Just praise God. Give him the adoration. Give him the glory, the honor, and the praise that only he deserves. Give it to him. Hallelujah. Paul says he got this message from Satan to torment him and keep him. And as a matter of fact, keep him from becoming proud. Keep him checked. He said three different times, I begged the Lord to take it away. And each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Do you hear what I'm saying? When you go through feeling weak, go to the Lord. Hallelujah. Doesn't matter what's going on, go to the Lord. Verse 10 says, you have made me act like a fool. You ought to be writing commandments for me, for I am not at all inferior to these super apostles, even though I am nothing at all. Do you hear what Paul says? This is the verse I wanted to give to you all. But Lord, have me go up and come on down. We got to get to that place, man. Knowing that who you are and whose you are. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians. We're all over the book. It's the only way we're going to get what we need. We got to go all over the book. Verse 27. Instead, God chose things the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. And he chose things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. This is God. When you are weak and you are dependent on God, them folk that think that they're so strong and powerful, they will see the power of God working through you. Do you hear what I'm saying? 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We got to know who we are. It's time out for playing church. We got to be the church. Know where our help come from. We have to know without a shadow of doubt, doesn't matter what's going on. Sickness, lack of finances, job problems, relationship problems. It doesn't matter what it is. You got a whole notebook full of stuff that you're dealing with right now. Let me say it this way. We got a notebook full of stuff that we're dealing with right now. Let us take them before the Lord in prayer. Let us go in there, and then when we begin to talk to him about it, don't take them back and start worrying about it, how this going to work, when this going to work. No, no, no. If you give it to the Lord, leave it there. Leave it. My mama used to say, boy, take it to the Lord and pray and leave it. She said, if you're going to take it to the Lord and you're going to take it back, why do you think go and take it to the Lord? You ought to keep it in your pocket. That's what she told me. And all these little nuggets she dropped to me when she was alive, and they're now coming back to feed me. To feed my soul. Once I give it to the Lord, I'm leaving it there. I'm not there. He said, Paul, for some say Paul's letters are demanding and forceful. Person, he's weak. And his speeches are worthless. This is what the people say. Those people should realize that all actions, when we arrive in person, will be as forceful as what we say in our letters from far away. This is Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10 and 11. We have to continue be steadfast in the word of God. Don't compromise. Don't water down. Don't try to please people. 1 Peter, King James Version, 1 Peter chapter 3. Oh, bless the name of the Lord Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 3. And verse 7. Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessels, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Do you hear that? The apostle says something so powerful. When I was looking at this last night, I said, wow, this is a very powerful verse. You know, all the verses in the Bible are powerful. But when you see something that really takes you to another place, it really blesses you. He said you got to give honor to your wife as unto the weaker vessel. And as being heirs to who? Heirs of Christ, of God, together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Now, if you treat your wife or your spouse, if you treat your husband or your wife, because you know wives treat their husband bad too. If you treat your wife bad or your husband bad, you hinder your prayers. You wonder why your prayers are not answered. This right there in that verse right there. Because you know that they're not as strong as you if you're a man. You know that. Women are very smart, but when you come to strength, they're not as strong as a man. They don't have the muscles. But you have some women that play in their men. They got some muscles too. But because they want to play a man, they want to be act like a man. Got calf muscles and all that crazy nothing. Biceps and triceps and deltoids and all this stuff. You know, they're living to go to the gym, lifting weights and pulling all them machines trying to be like a man. You can't be no man. You're still a woman. Every month you're going to have your menstrual period. You're a woman. The men that trying to be women, they'll never be a woman because they can't have a menstrual period. But they're still trying to say that, and they get on TV and they'll say, I am a man. I'm a woman. Foolish. You can never be a man, and a man can never be a woman. And you got some of these Democratic foolish people that agree with, well, she's bisexual. They're no foolish. Shut that stuff up. Can't a man a woman? No. You can never be a woman. Yes, I tell you so. You're a man, born a man, you'll be a diamond. I don't care if you cut off your stuff and put a split there, you're still a man. You can't have a period. The doctor can't make you have a period. That is given from God. That's a gift from God. Sometimes it's a pain because when the women are young adults, they have all these menstrual pains. But the man cannot do it, cannot have it. And a man cannot birth a baby. He don't have a womb. Will never have a womb. They can inject stuff in the man, but he can't develop a baby inside the birth chamber. He don't have a birth chamber like a woman does. You understand? But when you're weak, go to God. People go to him in prayer. And then when you go to God in prayer, leave it there. Don't take it back and say, God will fix this for me. God said, leave it there. He said, when you come, leave the burden there and experience my rest, my peace. You see, I don't wanna go and still have the burden. If you're gonna take it up, why are you going? You're going in there to God because you wanna have God peace, you wanna experience his joy. You wanna be able to relax in him and have that freedom inside your spirit, man, that you know that God has done this for you. You go in there and you're still worrying about the situation. Well, because you ain't give it to God. You still got it. See, when I pray for people, I leave it alone. I don't go on worrying about it. God has it. I got this morning, I pray for so many people, including the prophet's daughter. And I pray for all these people in the country, in the nations. And I leave it alone because I know God going to straighten that. Because he told me in the word, he's going to bring correction to the earth. He's bringing correction to the earth. And we have to be ready and willing to receive correction from God because God wants us to do a work. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And let's see if we look at this in King James Version or the NLT. Romans chapter 8. I'm telling you something. The word of God is, oh, my Lord, it's so sweet. It's so sweet. It does something to your spirit, man. Romans chapter 8, verse 3. He says, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak to the flesh. God sent his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Now he come in the likeness of sinful flesh, but he had no sin. I want you to know, because a lot of people say, well, why? If he come in the likeness, that means he had sin. No, he had no sin. He just had the characteristics of a man. He had everything. He had everything that a man had except sin. He could feel pain. He could feel sorrow. But he had no sin. Some of the folks try to put stuff on him, say he had women and this and all that kind of foolishness. But it's foolishness that the devil was having people say. Some preachers say it. But they're not true born-again preachers. You know? They say it because the devil take over their tongue when they say stuff. But listen to what he says. For the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. See, the spirit is what takes over. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. See, when you give yourself completely over to Christ, you begin to speak, think, live, and be spiritual. You know, it's hard. Even if something come up and get you angry that you step over in the flesh, quick, the Spirit will grab you and say, no, you can't go over there. You can't stay over there. Somebody cut you off the road and you want to get angry. Man, that devil. You know, you're not cussing. He said, that devil. Look. And you said, the Spirit said, don't go over there. That's who you used to be. Come back over here. Let love ring. Press the brake. Just touch the brake and let him go. Let it go ahead. This is the Spirit, man. We got to operate in this Spirit realm. Holiness. Holiness doesn't mean that you're not going to go through trials. Holiness doesn't mean that you're not going to be tested. You're going to be tested in the flesh. My God, you're going to be tested to see how strong you are. Satan's going to release everything because now you're professing that you are spiritual, that you belong to God, that God has cleansed you, God has restored you. Satan's going to release everything at you to see if you're going to stand flat-footed in the Lord. Listen to what he says. He says, I like this, what Paul says. He said, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. It opposed God. This is why the man was preaching last night. I saw last night on the internet, this young man was preaching in some city. And the young girl come right up to him and bumping her breast on him. He got the mic in his hand. He's talking about Jesus. And she says to the young preacher, young evangelist, she's Caucasian, he's Caucasian. So we know we can't say, well, it's racist. And she told him, she said, I'm talking about Jesus. I hate Jesus. He is just a fake. He's a figment of the imagination. He's not real. He says, so the guy, young man, said, he is real as you and I are real. He died on the cross for you so you can have life. And she began to cuss and all types of, she fall on the ground. She fall on the pavement, blacktop the road. She fall there on her back, cussing out. Can see this. She's carnal minded. They can't accept what the Spirit is delivering. He said, because the carnal mind is enmity, opposes God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. We're talking about what to do when you're weak. When you're feeling weak. You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so that the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So if you find out that you feeling weak in the flesh, you got to tap into the Spirit. People of God, we have to tap into the Spirit realm. I'm glad you asked that question. How do I tap into the Spirit realm? Start prayer. Use your spiritual language. If you don't know what to say in the English, in your nation town, go into the heaven town. Go into your heavenly town and begin to speak in town, because the devil don't know what you're saying. And the Bible says when you're speaking in town, you're not speaking to man, you're speaking to God. Go into towns and you will find out that when you begin to pray in towns, that your spirit man will come alive. It'll overpower the flesh, all that the flesh wants to do. That weakness that in the flesh will die, it will dry up. Because now you are in the Spirit realm talking to Daddy. And Daddy will begin to answer you. Because he said when you worship him, You must worship him in spirit and truth. He's a spirit. And when you begin to talk to him in tongues, you'll begin to hear God speak back to you. He says, oh God. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead, the flesh is dead, because of sin. But the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him that raises up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken you, your mortal bodies, by the his spirit that dwelleth in you. See, the spirit inside of us is what gives us the strength to stand. It's what empowers us to be able to stand in the midst of all that we are dealing with. And we all are dealing with something. You can imagine that the prophetess in her sons, in her family, they're dealing with heavy, having a daughter and a sister going through what she's dealing with. It's heavy, but it's not too heavy for God. It's heavy for me, it's heavy for them, but it's not too heavy for God. That's why we got to give it to God. And then when we give it to God, we got to start thanking him that he took it. See what I'm saying? We got to start thanking, Lord, I just thank you that you received my burden. I thank you, Lord. I know that you're taking care of it right now. Lord, I bless your name. I bless you. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Man, God show me some stuff the other day. I was, because this place for this church that I'm pastoring the church now for Pastor Vic, taking care of the church. It's very hard. It's a storefront church, but I got some pictures on Facebook. You see, it's nice, very nice on the inside. And if you look at outside, even outside, the tile and stuff work on the outside really beautiful. Got all got the rainbow colors and tile on the outside. It's hard to get a parking space on that street. And I started no practicing praying from the time I leave my house on Sunday morning until I get it. It takes more than an hour and 15 minutes, depends, or 30 minutes, depends on the traffic to get there. And I start praying from my house till I get to church. I ask the Lord to make a space for me. And ever since I start doing that, every time I leave home, get over there, there'll be a space there for me. But last Sunday, there was a space right in front of the church. And usually there's never a space there. Because I'm taking this thing. This is a burden to me. To drive all the way over there, and then you can't park, or you're afraid that your car going to get towed away. Then you got to pay a high fine, $250, $275 to get your car back. You know, God make a space. If he can make a space for a car, what do you think he would do for any other situation that we're dealing with? This is the God I'm talking. I'm using this analogy so we can our faith man can come up, that we can trust God for the healing, for the deliverance, for the restoration that we need. And I tell you this, I put this on the phone right now, a recording. Everyone that's dealing with some type of stroke pattern now that you've been through, if you believe, God will restore you. I shared it yesterday, how God restored my pastor. I went and prayed for him at his house. And I shared it yesterday on the service. He was laying on his bed, couldn't walk. From the left side of his face all the way down to his left foot, the whole left side was paralyzed. Couldn't use his left hand on that. And I went over and prayed for him. I told him what the Lord said. The Lord said it was not unto death or defection. He wouldn't stay crippled, but it's on to God's glory. God wanted to talk to him. And he had gotten so big, the church became from 18 members. In a few years, the church raised up to about 2,500 members. Okay. Church went up real high, fast. And once the church began to grow and become a mega church, he started to put his chest up. And he thought it was him, that it was his good teaching and preaching. Because he's a great preacher, great teacher, not a preacher. He's a great teacher. He teach very well. And he started to put his chest up, pump his chest up. And he got on the pulpit one day, and he says, if you don't like what I'm saying, you don't have to come back to church, and you can kiss my so-and-so right over the microphone. He's talking about his behind, but he called it raw, you know, over the microphone. And I tell you this, people of God, that particular morning, and the church was very, very old, elegant sanctuary. had a song, nice song, booth, reflects the glass, all around. It was very nice. A lot of equipment in there. Oh, it was very beautiful. And that morning, you could have dropped a needle or a pin on the carpet, and it would have made a sound. When he said that, everything went silent. And the church began to fall. And the church began to fall. Every Sunday was less and less people. And God had given him supernatural favor. The building was a $3 million building. It used to belong to Arrow. You know Arrow, the video place that used to sell the videos, the 8-tracks and the beta cassettes and all that stuff for videos. You could rent your CDs and DVDs and all that stuff. They're the first ones comes up with that stuff. And they had this was a big old long building. And they had a lot of different offices, but they gave up the building. And they rent the building to him. He had a building 3 or 4 years without paying $1. God had given supernatural favor. And after he said that word from the God's altar, God removed the anointing. We talked about that yesterday. God removed the anointing from the house. People leave the church. He lost the church. Okay? They tried to start another little section of the building, and the church still couldn't stand. They lose that too. Now the big church, the big sanctuary, which really sits about 3,000 people, a church from Nigeria has that building now. This is what God would do. If you just take it to God and leave it with God and honor what God is saying, knowing that he is the author and finisher of your faith, he is the one that's doing everything that we want done. Everything that we need done, not what we want done. He's doing everything for us so that we can proclaim the truth to people that are lost in this dying world. And let them know that it's him, not us. That's the whole key. Let the people know that it's not you, it's him. You're not perfect. We're not perfect, but he is. But we're being perfected every day. Every day that we get up and pray, every day that we get up and preach, every day we get up and teach, we are being perfected. The very word that we are preaching and teaching is perfecting us. It's stopping us from stepping over to the dark side, from stepping off from the path of righteousness and going into the path of deception, of lying and cheating and stealing and doing all that stuff. Because, you know, when you step off of righteousness, you're going into deception. There's no other path. There's only two paths, the path of righteousness and the path of deception. There's not three paths. There's not four paths. There's only two paths, good and evil. So when you leave good, you're going to go into evil. Ain't no if or buts about it. The Bible says here, let me see what Paul says. He said, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if we, through the Spirit, do mortify or strengthen the deeds of the body, you shall live. You shall live. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We have a purpose, and there's a plan. God gives us a plan. And the plan is that we got to go by the instructions that he gave to us to fulfill our purpose, to declare the truth to those that don't know him. That's what he says. He says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and join heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, then we may also glorify together. This Paul says, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. See, we're going through some stuff. We are going through some stuff. We're dealing with some stuff. Because dealing with the stuff is what's sharpening us. It's making us who we're supposed to be. Ezekiel chapter 7. Ezekiel chapter 7. I'm giving you a lot today. As always, we love the word of God. Ezekiel chapter 7. Hallelujah, Jesus. Now, Ezekiel gives me a lot here, but I'm not going to give you all that. The Holy Spirit should just give you that. Yeah, listen, says, the trumpet calls Israel army to mobilize. Ezekiel chapter 7, verse 14. But no one listens, for my fury is against them all. Listen to what God is saying. The trumpet represents the alarm or the word of God. They said, he said, to cry loud and spare not. We have to sound the alarm. Let the people hear the truth, that they don't have any excuse. We ministered a message some years ago, no excuse is accepted. We have to sound the alarm. If we don't sound the alarm, they say, excuse us. Well, Lord, we didn't hear nothing. Nobody told us anything. We were going to the church, and all they were talking about getting rich. They were talking about, if I just claim it, I can get it, Lord. And that's what I was doing. Nobody didn't tell me that I had to stop sinning. Nobody told me that I had to walk upright before God. Nobody told me I had to trust God and believe in the words that God said. He said the trumpet calls Israel's army to mobilize. Get ready. But no one listens, for my fury is against them all. There is war outside the city, and disease and famine within. Those outside the city walls will be killed by enemy swords. Those inside the city will die of famine and disease. Listen to what God is saying. We are facing some terrible times. I got to watch that video that Prophet Kirsty sent me, the things that happened. I got to look at it later. He said the survivors who escaped the mountains will mourn like doves, weeping for their sins. Their hands will hang limp. Their knees will be weak as water. They will dress themselves in burlap. Horror and shame will cover them. They will shave their head in sorrow and remorse. They will throw their money in the streets, tossing it out like worthless trash. Their silver and gold won't save them. On that day of the Lord's anger. He said their silver and gold won't save them on that day of the Lord's anger. It will neither satisfy nor feed them, for their greed can only trip them up. They are proud of their beautiful jewelry and use it to make detestable idols and vile images. Therefore, I will make all their wealth disgusting to them. I will give it as plunder to foreigners, to the most wicked nations, and they will defile it. I will turn my eyes from them as these robbers invade and defile my treasured land. It's happening right now in the United States of America. This that I just read is happening in the United States right now. The borders are open. We have all types of terrorists coming in. I read it last night, coming over the border from China and from Pakistan. They're coming in. And we yet to see the terrible outcome that's coming. It's coming. And this is where we have to walk upright. He says, prepare change for my people. For the land is bloody by terrible crimes. Jerusalem is filled with violence. I will bring the most ruthless of nations to occupy their homes. I will break down their proud fortresses and defile their sanctuaries. Therefore, terror and trembling will overcome my people. They will look for peace, but not find it. Calamity will follow calamity. Rumor will follow rumor. They will look in vain for a vision from the prophets. They will receive no teaching from the priests and no counsel from the leaders. The king of the prince will stand helpless, weeping in despair. The people's hands will tremble with fear. I will bring on them the evil they have done to others, and they will receive the punishment they so richly deserve. Then they will know that I am the Lord. When you are feeling weak, this is what you need to do. Go to the Lord in prayer. In the book of Joel, Joel chapter 3 and verses 10. Hammer yourself, hammer your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Train even your weaklings to be warriors. Come quickly, all you nations everywhere, gather together in the valley. And now, O Lord, call out your warriors. Let the nations be called to arms. Let them march to the valley of Jehoshaphat. There I, the Lord, will sit to pronounce judgment on them all. Swing the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, tread the grapes, for the winepress is full. The storage vats are overflowing with the wickedness of these people. Thousands upon thousands are waiting in the valley of decisions. There the day of the Lord will soon arrive. The sun and moon will grow dark. The stars will no longer shine. The Lord's voice will roar from Zion and thunder from Jerusalem. And the heavens and the earth will shake, but the Lord will be a refuge for his people, a strong fortress for the people of Israel. Ezekiel chapter 16, very last scripture. Very last scripture. Oh, bless the name of the Lord Jesus. Where you are, my good friend Ezekiel. Bless the name of the Lord Jesus. Ezekiel 16. And let's see. This is a lot of word right here. He says, 16 and 30. What a sick heart you have, says the sovereign Lord, to do such things as these, acting like a shameless prostitute. And he's talking to Israel. They turn away from God. And God consider it prostitution. When we turn from him and we begin to worship other entities, we prostitute ourselves when we turn from God and turn to the pipe. Turn to marijuana. Turn to alcohol. Turn to womanizing. We turn, and God calls it prostitution. He calls it whoring when we are going after other things and rejecting him. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this day. Thank you for the word. Thank you for those that came on to hear this word. Lord, thank you for blessing my heart to receive this, Lord. Letting me know without a shadow of doubt that you are always there for us. Lord, that we can come to you in any situation, any circumstance. That you have ears to hear, eyes to see, and a mouth to speak. Touch with your hands today. Lord, heal the broken heart. Open the blinded eyes and unstop the deaf ears. Cause the cloven tongues to speak clearly today. Lord, we ask you to heal those that are suffering with high blood pressure, cholesterol problems, those that are suffering with emphysema. Lord, some that have all forms of cancer, breast cancer, lung cancer, kidney cancer, liver cancer, bone cancer, brain cancer, eye cancer, cancer of the throat, Lord God. Lord, they have all forms of cancer in this earth right now. Lord, and you have your people, some of your people, very people that are called by your name, washing your blood, that are suffering in the hospital, crying out to you today, like the woman with the issue of blood. Lord, allow them to touch just the hem of your garment, that they might draw virtue from you to be healed. I pray today for that one that are going through today. Lord, we ask you to correct every brain problem today. Lord, some people can't even function right, can't see right, can't hear right, can't speak right because of malfunction in the brain. Ask you, God, to line up all of those electrical deals on the brain and cause them to fur just right. Lord, somebody's having problems with walking. It seems like their feet are, instead of walking straight, they're kind of going into each other, causing them to trip. We ask you, oh God, to just fix it, Lord. Straighten it up, oh God. Somebody so heavily today, God, as you hear this word today, receive it, receive it. Suffering with very bad arthritis of the hip and the low vertebrae of the back. They have very bad arthritis pain. Somebody's wanted to have the knees replaced, both knees. But God said today, I'm healing your knee. I'm removing the inflammation out of your knee. They say you have to have new cartilage replacement. God says, I'm replacing the cartilage for you today. I'm removing the inflammation, but I'm replacing the cartilage. God says, if you trust me, if you believe in me, just receive it. Say, Lord, I thank you for healing me right now. Thank you for refurbishing everything that needs to be fixed right now. Restoring right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Somebody have a problem in the eyes. It seems like your eyes are burning on fire. God says, I'm cooling down. I'm opening the vents in your eyes so the oil that I've placed in there to moisturize your eyes will come out and flow naturally to soothe the eyes. God said, just believe. It is yours. God said, give your heart. Give your heart, your whole heart. You see, that's all I need. All I require from you is your heart to serve me and to do right. In the mighty name of Jesus. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I just want to ask you, invite you today to open your heart today. And the Bible says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believe on him shall not be ashamed. Believe on him. Believe on the finished work of the cross. He went to the cross. The Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16. It says that God sent his Son not
sent his son not in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. You may want to say, some people say, I hear people say that when they found God or when they found Jesus, but I like to say to you today that God, the God that I serve, was never lost. He was never lost. He came to seek and to save that which is lost, because mankind became lost after the sin of Adam and Eve, our foreparents in the garden. After their sin, mankind became lost to sin. The Bible says in the book of Acts 2 and 38, Peter says, let every one of you repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. See, you can't lose when you choose Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You can't lose. If you choose Buddha, Muhammad, Confucius, or Allah, one of those places, people, you lose. They can't give you what you need. Only Jesus can give you what you need, as he did for us. If you believe him, if you trust him, if you rely on him, if you depend on him, he gives you automatically, instantly, the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost represents help, teacher. He gives you the help you need to live the life that pleases the Father, the Holy Ghost. He comes and he helps us to walk right before the Lord. So if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, if you don't know him, just confess him. Repent and confess. Okay, repent and confess. Give him the opportunity to enter into your heart. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Which door? Your door, your heart. He said, if you were open, he would come in and sup with you and you with him. Jesus is knocking on your heart today if you don't know him as your Lord and Savior. He wants to come in because he wants you to be saved. But you got to open the door. What do you open the door with? Invite him in. He's not going to come in. He is able to enter any door. Remember what we talked about? Where the disciples were in the house after Jesus resurrected from the dead. They were hiding from the Romans, and they thought they would come and take them and kill them, so they were hiding. And Jesus appeared to them. He didn't need the door open. He came in through the wall to let them know that he was what Mary Magdalene says was true. He had risen from the dead. And he allowed them to see his nail prints in his hand and the hole in his side where they put the spear in. The Lord that we're talking about is the risen Savior. He's not dead. He's not in the tomb. But you got to take the opportunity to invite him to come into your heart, to live inside of you, to take control. The Bible says, if you believe, you shall receive, and all things will be possible unto you. So, in the book of Mark, he says, in the book of Mark, the last chapter, Mark has 16 chapters, so the last chapter says, Jesus spoke to the disciples and he told them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. This is all gifts. Giftings that are already prepared for the believer, for the one that call upon him in repentance. The same gifts that he gave to the disciples is available to every believer that will trust Jesus to give it to them. You got to believe. You got to trust. Hallelujah. And it will become it to you. It will be, it's there for you. It's available for you. Hallelujah. So, if you don't know Jesus, the Lord and Savior, take this time right now to just invite him. So, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of a Savior. I heard the word today, and I am convicted in my spirit, man, that I need to be saved. And you are the only one that have the power and the authority to save me from my sin and give me eternal life. Jesus, I repent now, according to Acts 2 and 38, for my sin. And I am looking to you, the author and finisher of my faith, to give me what I need to live. If you really believe what you're saying right now, if you really believe this, what you're saying, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You shall receive the salvation that is available for you right now. You shall receive it. It's available for you. Hallelujah. You just got to receive it. Don't let the enemy stop you because it's available. I'm telling you the truth. Pray with me. Lord Jesus, I believe all that has been done at Calvary, that you were crucified on a hill called Golgotha, or the skull, Calvary. I believe that you died there according to the word of God, that you were buried in a borrowed tomb, and that the Father raised you up from the dead on the third day. You now sit at the right hand of the Father making intercessions for me. I believe this in my heart, and I am confessing it with my mouth. Jesus, I denounce Satan and all of this world system, all that it stands for. I come to you today with great expectations, knowing that you and you only have to save my soul, restore my spiritual being. So today I invite you to come into my heart, take up your rightful position as Lord, Savior, and soon coming King in my heart, in my life. If you have just said that uncommon prayer, you have just received the gift of salvation. It is yours to have. Now you need to get a Bible. Begin by studying Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You might say, why? I said, well, the Holy Spirit told me this years ago, tell the people that, to study there. You might choose to, starting with any book that you choose to. But start somewhere. You have to start somewhere. Okay? You just cannot be idle. You are born again believer now. So start somewhere by studying the word of God. Make a decision to study God's word. Because it's the word that's going to cause you to live, cause you to honor God, convict you to walk upright before him, the word of God. The more you read, the more you study, the stronger you're going to become spiritually. Then I want you to call a pastor, preacher, teacher, and tell them that you received the gift of salvation and you want to be baptized in Jesus' name. Be specific, because many preachers are still baptizing Father, Son, and Holy Ghost because they have not gotten the revelation that the name of the Father is Jesus, the name of the Son is Jesus, and the name of the Holy Ghost is Jesus. They have not gotten that revelation yet. So, this is your salvation. Paul said you got to work out your own soul salvation with fear and trembling. So you got to make this decision that you want to be baptized in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But don't get mad if the pastor says, well, you know, we don't baptize in Jesus' name. We baptize in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Don't you get mad and say, well, the preacher told me I got to get baptized in Jesus' name and carry on. Don't do that. Because the reason why you don't want to do that, you may be become called to be the pastor at that church at some time in the future. You don't ever know. You don't know what God is doing. So leave the doors open. Don't burn any bridge that you might have to eventually walk back over. If you burn the bridge and you got to go back, then you can't go back or the bridge is burned. You know, some people say, well, they talk bad to the pastor and stuff, and then they want to use you, but they say, well, we can't use him because I remember how bad he was, disrespectful he was to the pastor we had. We don't want to bring nobody in the church not like that. So leave your bridge. Leave the path open. And if they don't baptize in Jesus' name, say, well, okay, that's all right. I'll get back in touch with you as soon as I get my family and friends to the witnesses that I want to invite for the baptism, and I'll get back in touch with you. At the same time, you're looking, you'll be searching, looking for someone that will baptize you in the name of Jesus. And then when you get that person that will baptize you in Jesus' name, you invite your friends, your family, your co-workers, everybody that you can get. Because this is the best time of your life, most important time of your life, where you're declaring and decreeing to the people that are present that you are born again. Do you hear me? That's what you're seeing. In openness, you are saying to the people that are there that you are born again. And we like to say that you're going down in a liquid grave where you're going to be baptized. And in that liquid grave, you're leaving everything that you had that wasn't like Christ. You're going to leave in that watery grave. You go down in there full of sin, and you come back up with that grave, washed, made clean, and transforming, being perfect. You come up with that grave. It's a watery grave. So now you find a church that is preaching and teaching the gospel, my friend, a true gospel, and get yourself involved in ministry. This is what it's all about. God, thank you for receiving. And even if you were somebody on there, if you have backslidden, that you can say the same prayer and rededicate your life. Ask God to accept you back in the family. You know, remember the prodigal son? It doesn't matter how far you go away from God. God is never far from you. He is always near to every believer and unbeliever. He's always there waiting for us to call on him, to reach out and touch him. And when you call on him, guess what happened? He received you back into the family. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He's not that kind of God that just turns his back on you. You can never get God, can never do anything bad enough to cause him to turn his back on you. Even those guys that commit crime and kill and murder and stuff and go to jail, you hear some of them that they had given their life to Christ and how their life changed. Why? Because God came in and touched them and changed and restored them, even from the prison. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I thank God for you all that received the gift of salvation and those that will receive at a later date. We ask that you continue to walk. If you have any questions, you can call us on Blog Talk Radio. You can seek out one of us that know how to pray. You know, we have a lot of people that call us day and night. Sometimes I have to get up out of my bed and go out in the living room, you know, because that's what we do. You know, that's the job that we got. It didn't pay much, but the retirement plan is out of this world. That's what we're working for. We're working for retirement plan. So the line is open anyway. Anyone that wants to respond, you can. The line is open.
Praise the Lord. God bless you, Apostle Callender. Praise the Lord. We honor the Lord for you today and for your wife and the ministry entrusted in your care. Glory to God. We honor Apostle Stewart. I heard you say he was on the line, and also my son, Minister Jones, DeRon Jones. Blessings on your son. praise God, and all of those who are seated in the fivefold ministry thrones. Amen. We thank God for you, you and you, both male and female. Praise God. I thank God for the word of God. Amen. And for all of your prayers concerning my daughter. Amen. And sending that word out of encouragement to us to let us know you were touching and agreeing with us concerning, excuse me, her health and recovery. Amen. We praise God for you. Amen. And I thank God for the word of God. I'm not on this often, and I've taken on other tasks and other things that I'm doing in my daily life. And then there are moments I have a chance to come on and listen for a few minutes, and then I have to hang up to get on to what I was supposed to be doing, but stop in just to listen a moment. But I tell you, you're always a blessing. You are always a blessing. And then to see you live was a blessing. Praise God. I've seen the imagery, other imagery, pictorial images of you, but to actually see you in live preaching, thank you for that video as well. Thank God for the word of God on today. Oh, it is so timely in time. Praise God. And it was a blessing talking to the prodigal son and dealing with all the publicans and the sinners that the scripture said that will soon bypass and take the kingdom away and just go on and do what God say do. When many of the saints have gone lack and slack in doing what the Lord has mandated them to do, or walking in their calling. Praise the Lord. Amen. And we thank God for the plowing and for the stir and that divine call going out to those who are backslidden, reminding them, hopefully, that it will provoke them to love and jealousy and back to good works. Come on back and get right with God and let's work together. And it's not too late to work to pick up where you left off, because God will accelerate development real fast due to the shortness of time. And I was telling them on the prayer line this morning and some yesterday on how we are getting ready for God in the month of October to take more time out of time. And we already know that our days are numbered, have numbers on them. And this is the month where God decides who will continue in 24, which we are already officially in the year 24 by the divine calendar. Praise God, the high holy days, the first day of 2024, with that sundown on this past Friday. And during that weekend, according to God's calendar and the way it is written and his expectation of us who know, who really know the Holy Scriptures and really have studied consecration, know that it's a time of reflection, self-examination. As Paul said, examine yourself to see whether you be in the faith, you know, and then a time where God is proving what's in our heart. We came through many things according to Deuteronomy chapter 8. And so you was right in that God's divine timing, and what is being uttered in the most sacred lands, the lands that remain sacred and the people that remain sacred and hold to the original laws and statutes and precepts and judgments of God. Praise God. And I tell you, that call to backsliders or people who have gone AWOL or slacking what you're doing and what you don't do what you used to do for God, and you don't sing as much or preach as much, don't care to be in church as much and all. I tell you, that was a provoking, a provocation, a call to come on, because we need help. There's so much trouble in the world now. People are in distress. You even brought out Joel in chapter 2, where many was in the valley of decision or derision. And there's a lot of people that want to come in, but the harvest is great, as the scriptures say, but the laborers are few. And people want to be saved. It look like they don't, and it look like they're going on, but they're now being driven. And see, they don't know the dangers of saying no to God and putting off going to church and putting off repentance, and I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow. And it gives the demonic anchor a greater hold on you. And I tell you, it was just an awesome word dealing with preachers. We got to go back to the truth. We got to put it back like it was. And if you don't, you will be counted as one that he says, depart from me, because your work was of iniquity. You twisted the truth. You distorted it. You neglected to say certain things that was necessary that will prevent needless burdens of sickness and disease to come upon Tile Church and to overspread. The prayerlessness, for one, have caused invasions like we've never seen, or overspread like we have never seen or would ever think, even though the scripture prophesied it. But we've not thought that, and we were told that we wouldn't be here to see certain things as they are now, when we are already moving in the trumpets because of the magnification of the name Trump is on the housetop day and night. No, it's a man in court, but God is slinging words. He's slinging numbers, speaking of, and there's the signs in the moon, in the sun, as the scriptures say. And Genesis 1 said, I wouldn't only just give you the sun and the moon for light, or to grow things in the biosphere, creatures, and these things have an effect on our development as well as the green stuff. He said, but they shall be for signs as well. And the world is getting ready for one of the greatest feasts, praise God, at this next moon, with God taking time out of time, and then there will be a big portal open, a rim opening, and more stuff loose on the planet, praise God, like never before. But at the same time, God will be moving in a glorious way upon the people that have kept their bodies in sanctification and honor. And I tell you, it is just, if it's ever been a time for people to repent, and that this past weekend is that. Reflect, examine your own works. Like the scriptures say, Matthew 7, judging your own self, lest you be judged. And the greater judgment is from God. And now it's up on the world. The wages, the decision was made, and you see it up on the world. And he brought up by the signs of Matthew 24 to tell you we're at the end of things, the shaking, everything shaking, be shaken. Told the saints they need to download earthquake apps because we've been getting more tremors coming from Missouri and Arkansas all the way up to Tennessee. They're saying the earth is trembling, and the ants has been showing it on this end. Keep climbing up to our mailboxes and going up in the trees to forewarn us, and we got to consider the ants in the animal kingdom, because it's with them and us. We together with them in Romans 8, groan and travail, desiring and looking for the manifestation of the sons of God, which the evil ones arising to try to prevent, but they can't stop us from moving forward. We will be given and bring satisfaction and fulfillment to creation one more time. We, the sons of God, those of us who are moving to sonship, like I hear that you are moving, Apostle Calendar, and constantly, by every word you preach, making yourself worthy to be counted, accounted worthy to escape what's coming to pass, and be accounted worthy to be marked as a vessel fitted for honor. For honor, you are working with God and standing in defense of the gospel. Even if you lose family and friends, you're still pressing your way. And may God forever bless your press. Praise God as he's blessing mine. I tell you, many have died since the last time I've reached family. We've lost quite a few that's going in now. The nanos that's been injecting in people through the vaccine is taking people out. Is reaching its full stage of incubation and the breakdown of the system, the archives and the blood. And so many things are happening to people. They don't understand what's happening to them and the ultimate cost of it. So I would advise anybody else that's considering, do not take the next vac. Because it's the genocide that is going in effect now. and things are changing, and there's much more that they got to do in order to bring Lucifer's son in to bring fulfillment of Revelation 13. So y'all be careful, be safe, and hear this message that God has given, a call to repentance. A call to repentance for true change, real change. This ain't no game. This is not a game. Weapons all around us, weapons of warfare from the fallen angels and their seed and the world leaders who've taken counsel with them, together with them. They have thin weapons, weapons you can't see, but you have to smell. You can smell it. Some you can see, and some by feeling. And some taste buds, or they got a way to penetrate the triune if possible. But you're going to need the Holy Ghost to get saved, like this man of God has reiterated over and over and over again in your ears, to get the Spirit of God, because it's going to take spirit to fight spirit. You're going to need the Holy Ghost, which has been set to run the church arena, the church arena. No matter who falls and who draw back, you keep moving forward. Keep moving forward. Keep fighting the good fight of faith, because right now we're getting ready to face one of the greatest temptations known to man. You're talking about the ultimate temptation. It's much stronger and most temptable and will be much desirable and more seducing and persuasive to the exchange of your soul. It ain't nothing compared to you committing adultery with somebody, sleeping with somebody other than your wife. Design and know what it is to be same-sex sex or to be with a phenomenal trois freaks in the bed. That ain't nothing. At least you got a chance to make it to the altar and some of those things and repent and verses when you would give an exchange for your food, because you cannot buy or sell or trade and get your Social Security anymore, your disabilities, which they don't want disabled people in the New World Order anyway. And I guess I better go on and shut this off and cut it short, because, I mean, I can go on another hour or so just talking about what's going on, and so you can be ready and not be fooled by this. 666 is already in effect, and you got to be prepared. Stop sleepwalking. Stop being in denial. Hurry up and get saved. Hurry up. Time is winding up. A plumb line will be drawn, and you won't be able to jump in and out anymore. Jumping in and out, say, 1 minute, then you backslide. That stuff is going to stop, and you're going to end up being born changed. You'll be filthy still. If you're holy, you're going to be holy still. You cannot take a chance on letting the spirit that had you re-enter you, because you will be worse than when you didn't know the truth. The second time you go back, you'll be worse, under worse condemnation, because you went in it knowing the truth. And so let us do all we can to keep our garments white. Praise God, to keep our hands clean. Glory to God. Y'all excuse me. I'm at work and I had to step outside to talk. Praise God. And so there's trucks and all that. That's the noise in the background. I'm so sorry for that. But blessings on you all. And I pray you make it through this shaking. God is trying to see what's of him and what's not. He's shaking the olive tree. He's shaking the high and lofty ones. That in Matthew 24, I mean Isaiah, the 24th chapter, tells you exactly what you see with all this. These politicians, the Republicans and the Democrats, going to court. This is God working. And they still won't give the credit to God. In those last few verses of the 24th chapter, but that entire chapter tell you why Noah's flood has returned, the types of the days of Noah's return, and everything else, because why? The inhabitants on the earth has transgressed laws and have caused this shaking, this trembling. Now that creation has rejected us, don't want to provide for us anymore, because we are against the maker, a lot of us. Praise God. And so he's dealing with the high and lofty ones, and they still want to keep staying. And I'm going to end it with this and give it back to you, Apostle Calendar. Oh, they stole the election. I'm so sick of the Games of Thrones and what they're saying, the lies that continue. God did it. God did it. The Most High is in control of this, and that's the 75th Division of Saul. He the one set up kings and take kings down. He the one wrote this, declared the end from the beginning. It was already pre-written. Trump didn't know that the Bible was going to speak of him and all of anybody else that's voted into an office, and even Romans 13. All the powers that be ordained of God, anybody that's seated on a throne, whether it's political or spiritual. So y'all don't even repeat that. Oh, they throwed away this and that. No, God fired him. God took him out, but he's still using him outside of that throne he was seated on, and he's in the court. The name is his, just his name is being used to show you where we are biblically. With that word, big as day, Trump. Trump is short for trumpet. For trumpets. Seals has been broken. We're in the trumpets. We're moving. The Kairos is moving. And what you got to do is stop living so much as by the Kronos, by this time frame, and get in the divine. Get out of death, from under death. We're passing from death to life. Start embracing death and words of sickness throw into your conscience that I have this, I have that, and I'm dying. You got to leave those things, and even down to the image and prediction of it and looking at it on television. Stuff about death, murder, 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 and then you still have these entities of death and hell keep following you, buffeting you, and afflicting you, and causing you to be led to afflict yourself by eating stuff and drinking stuff that will take you out or immobilize you health-wise. It's going to take the power of God, the Kairos, to help us to make it to the end. I pray God's blessings on each and every one of you with the hearing of this word that's coming through this broad radio broadcast. Cast of Apostle David Callender. Amen. God bless you, man of God. May God forever bless and strengthen and keep your heart regulated and every nerve in your body and everything functioning that you may apply and keep preaching. Even all pull out. You hold on because that's your life. That's your life. When you put it down and give it up, even try to retire, then we be taken in. But long as you're doing it, you shall live. Long as you obey and proclaim it, you shall live and be accounted profitable to continue in this word. God bless you. I love you. Keep praying for me. Keep praying for me. Amen. And keep praying. And Lord, bless me with a wonderful man of God in my life that we can have each other back in this last and evil days. It ain't good to be alone. I know I got the Holy Ghost, but I do want a physical individual in my life that I have my back, and I have his in these last and evil days. God bless you. I love you. Stay safe.
Amen. Amen. Love you more. God bless you, Prophetess. We've been praying, and we know you've been praying for us, that we've been praying for you. And we know God is doing a great work in your daughter, and you will see the manifestation. You know, you will see it all come to fruition. I tell you that she's going to be better than she was.
Amen.
I heard it so plain last night. I was praying for her, and the Lord said it so plain. I put it on the message today because I heard it last night. He said it again this morning. God's going to refurbish her brain. Every electrical dial on her brain is going to spark. It's going to fire the way it's supposed to fire. Understand?
Praise God.
And she's going to testify that it's God. That's what's going to come out of her mouth. It is God, because nobody can do it but God. Nobody can do it but God. I'm telling
Amen.
You, I
Thank
know
you.
What God says. Nobody can do
Thank
it but
you.
God. And I know she's going to testify. When you sent out that call, I said, Lord, I got to start praying right now. That's my sister's daughter. I got to pray for her right now. And I went in to pray. I went in to pray right then and then, you know, because I know the God that we serve. He's awesome. He's majestic. He's sovereign. Oh, God, and he is loyal, faithful to who he said he is. All we have to do is trust and depend. I mean, just trust and depend, you know. And glory to God. That message that I preach in the church on Sunday, I sent you the video. I shared that message with so many people before I even preached it because God has been working with me. And he's been showing me that a lot of times the preachers are rejecting and ostracizing the nobodies. Oh, my God, you hear I want to preach now again. But he says, I come for the nobodies. I'm not come for the ones who think they got it together. I come for the nobodies, you know. And when he went into Simon's house, oh, my God, he went into Simon's house, and Simon didn't give him no water to wash his feet. I talked about it in the message. You know, that just show you how the world, we look at us and we look at the world. Because the world look at us and they put us on a spot, you know, and they think that we have to look at everybody as different. God said, no, you see them the way I see them. Look at them the way I look at them. I look at them as a lost soul needed to be saved. And if you see them as souls that needed to be saved, you begin to release Jesus. You understand? This is what God is saying, our prophetess. We supposed to release Jesus out of our soul into every soul that's out there. And when they see that, they want to come to Jesus. I don't care if they're gay. I don't care if they're gambling. I don't care if they're stealing. I don't care if they're selling dope. I want to tell you about the God that saved me when I was in the crack house. He didn't save me when I was working, doing a fine job and work, running around. He saved me when I was in there smoking with a pipe in my hand. He came and got me and told me I wasn't going to get high anymore. That's why he saved me. He told me, you will never be able to get high again. Guess what? I tried to get high again. And I had the best cocaine from Bolivia. Everybody around me, all of my associates, I called them friends at the time, but I realized after being saved that they wasn't my friends. They was associates because I was able to buy the cocaine. I had my business, and I was making big money, you know. So, and the Lord told me I would never be able to get high again. Everybody was getting high off of my cocaine. I had an ounce of cocaine. Everybody. It cost a lot of money. And everybody was getting high. And I was looking at the cocaine all the time. So why can't I get high? But the Holy Ghost reminded me, even in my friend's basement, he died. Cocaine killed him. And I looked down on his face in the casket. God reminded me, I saved you from this. And God told me right there in that house that day, he said, didn't I tell you you'll never be able to get high? And I ain't never buy no more cocaine. They never smoke no more because I couldn't get high. Still can't get high. You know, so I wouldn't even try it. So we just thank God and praise God for you. We have you come on as a tour brother Minister Jones, that when he get a chance, I want him to come and preach when he get a day off. He'd be excited when he's off or something. And whenever you get a chance, let me know when you can come and preach for us. The Lord will bless you. But we're going to keep your daughter in prayer. We're going to keep her in prayer. And we want you all to start thanking God. You don't have to pray for the same stuff anymore. God already heard the first time. We're going to thank God for healing her. That's what we're praising God now. We're thanking God for healing her because that's what he promised. He said, I'm healing her. I'm healing. God can do it one time. God can touch her with one finger and she'll be healed instantly. But God said, I'm healing her. Why? Because now he's letting this healing. Listen to me, prophetess. He is letting this healing that he is manifesting in your daughter be a process. Because in the process of her being healed and put back and getting back more than what she lost, she's going to come closer to God. You remember when the Amalekites had come in and destroyed Ziklag and burned and all that stuff and stole the people, take the wives and the children and all the cattle? And David asked God, he said, God, shall I pursue them? Go after them. And God told him, go. He said, go, you shall recover all. And he recovered all that they took, even more. Of course, he got some of their stuff, so he recovered more.
So God say even right now in this same scripture, I think it's in Dr. Samuel, 2 Samuel. But he told him he could recover all. But the Lord said for your daughter, she is going to be sharper than she was before. So she's going to remember, she's going to recover all and more. All and more. Do you hear what I'm saying? So God is going to do it process because she has to get closer. Her spiritual eye is going to open even the more to do what she's called to do. Understand? This is going to be her testimony, our prophetess. This is going to be her testimony because what the doctors taught is impossible is not impossible for God. Not impossible. All we have to do is. So, Father, we just thank you and praise you. We thank you and praise you, God, for healing the prophetess' daughter, for giving her back all of her senses, oh God, giving her back, clothing her in the right mind, and giving her the activities of her limbs. Lord, we thank you for the process. Oh, God, you told Abraham in the process of time. Lord, I just thank you right now that even in the process of time, you are doing what only you can do. And God, thank you for the prophetess there, for her daughter, having the word of God, which is the medicine that she needs for her body, for her mind, for her soul. God, that her mother has it because she's a woman of God. She is one of your children, and her brother, who is a child, a servant of God. We just ask, oh God, that you continue to watch over them, keep them. And Lord, we pray, Father God, even brother Deacon Fraser, Father, is in the hospice. His cancer has come back into his life like a ruined lion. God has bring him home before, and now cancer come back and attack his body like a ruined lion. But Lord, we pray now for strength for brother Deacon Fraser. For God, you already have everything in motion. However it will be done in your will. Lord, but we ask you to continue to strengthen brother Deacon Fraser, Lord. Strengthen him, God, and let him know that you have given him that prayer line, and when he get on there, he going to pray, and he going to serve you with everything that's with him. God, protect him and protect his mother when she is on the highway, they're driving. Lord, give them traveling mercy that they would reach their destination back and forth safe, Lord. We pray, Father God, as we leave this line, but never your presence, oh God, that you continue to watch over us, God. We ask you to continue to join, bring more people to the church building as we open the doors on Sunday morning. Lord, let the people come from everywhere. Lord, we know that we're in a bad neighborhood, but Lord, we want the people from the neighborhood to come to the church. Lord, you draw them. Draw them because we have your word, and your word is fresh. Your word is, oh God, powerful. It's anointed. Lord, bring them to the church building. We're going to give them your love. Father, we pray for Pastor Vic over in Georgia, Lord, and we pray for those in Alabama. There's a lot of flooding going on over there. We pray, God, that you protect the lives of the people, oh God. Lord, we ask for the homosexual and lesbians and all those people, corrupt, promiscuous people living in Alabama, Lord, draw them. Lord, let the flood waters cause them to run to the church, oh God, and let them don't just run to the church for safety, but let them run there for repentance, oh God, to give their lives to you, God, and turn from their sin, God. God, we pray today for this nation of America that we love so dearly, Lord. We know that there's so much that is coming, oh God. It's on the way, God. We can't escape it, Lord God. You said when you rain on the just and the unjust. But we are praying for the unjust even right now, God. God, that you would draw more people, oh God, that they'll begin to come. And God, we pray for every servant of the kingdom, every layperson, oh God, every ambassador, that they will open their mouth and sound the trumpets, oh God. They begin to sound the alarm, like Ezekiel said. They'll begin to sound the alarm that the people will begin to hear truth, oh God, in the atmosphere. Oh God, that would cause them to come closer and want to know what must they do to be saved, like the Enoch when he hear Philip. Oh God, he said, what must I do to be saved? God, we pray right now in the name of Jesus, oh God. Lord God, there always will be water so they can be baptized, oh God. We pray today in the name of Jesus that you touch the president, touch the vice president, touch the Congress, touch the senators, oh God, touch the Supreme Court Justice Department, touch the police department in every city, God. We ask you, Father God, in the name of Jesus, touch the fire department, Father God. We pray for you to touch husbands and wives, touch the children, touch the doctors and nurses, touch the, oh God, touch the, oh God, touch the teachers and touch the students. Lord, we ask you to bring healing in our nation, oh God. We pray, Father God, as we leave this line, but never your presence, God, that you bless us in the city, bless us in the field, bless us when we come, God, and bless us when we go. God, continue to make us the head and not the tail. Set us above and not beneath. Lord, make us the lenders, oh God, and not the borrowers. Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus that God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God be with us now and forevermore. As we dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen and amen. Remember to tell someone that God loved them, you love them, and Jesus is the only way. And maybe the word that you speak today in somebody's ear gate, that will make all the difference in their lives. It may stop someone from committing suicide. It may stop someone from committing murder. Stop someone from kidnapping a child, raping a child, sodomizing a child, or even breaking into someone's home and committing some heinous crime. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify the Father who art in heaven. We just want people to see Jesus in us, oh God. Let us let the love of God flow through us, in us and through us, that people will know that we are his and he is ours. We thank God for you, Brother Deacon Fraser. We pray that one day you will get to come on and preach a word for us. We'll make a day, maybe Saturday, some Saturday. You can come on and bring the word on a Saturday. We just thank God for you. I want you to know that we love you. We love you with our heart. We love you with our mind. We love you with our soul. And don't matter what nobody say, we love you. And God loves you just as much, oh God. And he loves us just as much. God bless you all. Have a blessed day and a safe day. Stay faithful. And trust God for all your needs. God bless you all. Bye-bye.